Sexual dysfunction is apparently a man's world, with manly billion-dollar drugs like Viagra for erectile dysfunction, but not much for women wanting more satisfaction with their partners, as this real public service announcement suggests.
So, it's just you and your lady. The setting, it's magical. But then, erectile dysfunction comes knocking again. But lucky for you, you have countless medication options that will make you just as randy as a teenager. Too bad your lady doesn't have any. Even though more women than men suffer from sexual dysfunction, there isn't one available medication on the market. Sounds like we've been left high and dry.
That's an excerpt of a possible ad campaign put together by an advocacy group called Even the Score. They're advocating for the FDA to approve a daily dose little pink pill called flibanserin for women who have difficulty with sexual arousal. The FDA is holding hearings for the drug today. But the gender equality argument may have an uphill battle at the FDA. The prospect of women buying a drug like Viagra with the same enthusiasm as men spend on ED drugs could be distorting the more basic questions of science. Thea Caccioni is an assistant professor of women's studies at the University of Victoria in British Columbia. She's writing a book called Big Pharma, Women and the Labor of Love.
Really, this drug has been submitted three times, once as an antidepressant drug and twice as a treatment for low sexual desire. It's been rejected every time by the FDA. And the people who have bought the rights to flibanserin, Sprout Pharmaceuticals, have an extensive background in public relations and marketing, and they've done an excellent job of kind of shifting the conversation away from the evidence and the science and trying to make this the fact that flibanserin has not been approved about something else. They're basically charging the FDA with sexism. So very clever marketing move and very heavy public pressure they've now put on the FDA. But the science and the evidence remains the same. This drug does not have an adequate risk-to-benefit ratio.
I mean, does it have any even remotely credible benefit involving female sexual desire? I mean, what does it do that might produce that benefit?
Yeah, I mean, this is the fascinating thing about flibanserin, is the benefit is so minor, if any benefit at all. In the European clinical trials, there showed basically no benefit. In the North American clinical trials, there was an extra 0.7 sexually satisfying events per month when participants took flibanserin as compared to the placebo. The placebo, actually, in all of these trials, had quite a positive effect.
Given the charge that medical research in general has maybe not focused on women as much as men in a whole variety of domains, do you think it is a worthy mission to try to find a pharmacological solution to some issue of enhancing female sexual desire? And has there been any or an appropriate amount of study of the matter?
Excellent question. So I think the first point that listeners really have to understand about this is that millions and millions of dollars have been spent by drug companies on this pursuit. Ever since the minute Viagra was released to this kind of blockbuster success, it was the most lucrative drug since Prozac, I believe. There was immediate organizing in the medical community. There were consensus conferences on how to classify and define female sexual dysfunction. You know, there's been so many different drug hopefuls in the pipeline. There was a Procter & Gamble testosterone patch prior to this that made it to the FDA approval stage, but was not found to be safe or effective. So it's really not a case of lack of trying by any means. In fact, what I understand is that sexual desire is much more likely to be influenced by external factors, by relationship issues, by psychological issues, how you feel about yourself, but also about the social world, the way that we have kind of constructed norms of desire in ways that are not always realistic for all people all the time. So when I get asked that question, you know, is this a worthy pursuit? I would like to think in an abstract sense, sure, but I'm actually not surprised that despite millions of dollars spent on this pursuit, This focus on physiology is actually not proving to be very fruitful.
You know, without getting into high school health class here, Viagra is not an orgasm drug, of course. It just enables a particular function, erection, that it certainly increases the likelihood that someone's going to have an orgasm with their partner if they're male.
Right.
If there was, it's a bit of an apples and oranges comparison, but if there was discovered a physiological trigger for female orgasm, do you think the FDA should, as a matter of equity, take a look at that? And do you think it's even possible to find such a trigger that would be comparable to what Viagra does?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think the FDA will look at any drug that is submitted to them with, you know, the adequate research protocol followed. So I don't think there's ever going to be a concern about the FDA dismissing sexual pharmaceuticals as a category. And they've
although I should say, I mean, the FDA does have a problem with ideology in other drugs, you know, birth control drugs and that sort of thing. I mean, the idea that the FDA is purely objective on pharmaceutical issues that are important to women is suspect.
Well, I think it's quite the opposite, though. I hear what you're saying, but I think the opposite has been true, that if anything, there have been drugs approved in the past that were not safe for women. And the birth control pill, which was initially 10 times the dose of estrogen it is today, was not safe. And it was really the work of feminist grassroots health advocates that got the FDA to recognize this and encouraged the inclusion of warning labels within pill packages. I don't think it's so much a matter of the FDA not allowing access women to access enough drugs. If anything, I think they have to be cautious because there have been so many unnecessary drugs. I'm also thinking of thalidomide, DES for miscarriage, which led to all sorts of birth defects. If anything, I think there's that history to contend with.
Thea Caccioni, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thea Caccioni is an assistant professor of women's studies at the University of Victoria in British Columbia. She's writing a book called Big Pharma, Women and the Labor of Love.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.